Hey, how you doing today?
One step closer to the edge, and I'm about to podcast. Oh no, I didn't write down any sort of intro to this. All right, well, welcome back to Monday Night Fake Fights, the show where I have not had an intro, and I will not have an intro, apparently. I'm Garrett Taylor, and this is, once again, my guest...
Topanga Rainbows!
Topanga the Rainbows! Yay! Welcome back. If you are here after joining us on Patreon, we did a watch-along of Fall Brawl 1995.
So much fun!
That was kind of ridiculous. Now we're going into the Monday and Thursday after the Monday for WCW, and it was a Thursday night Raw, but not Thursday Raw Thursday, which is its very own specific thing.
Yeah, this is probably Westminster Dog Show or something where they move the date. Yeah.
Something like that. I like to think every time it happens, I'm going to like have the headcanon that no, it's the Westminster Dog Show. Well, welcome back for only... technically skipped an episode in between. I just had so much fun that I'm going to have you back as like often as possible. And
I love this. Yeah, I'll be back whenever you ask.
Awesome. The way it's working out, it's seems to be like I'll just be throwing some ass out there, and people are really excited to come hang out. So yeah,
everyone loves ass. Yeah.
Yeah, asks, not ass.
Oh, okay. I did the mic. Okay. No, now okay. I get it.
All right,
but
no,
also,
I mean,
yeah,
hey,
people like being asked.
It's things, that people too. Like ass too. And it's just not something I've thrown out there as much as asks. I'm sluttier in theory, Topanga. I'm sluttier in theory. But
I want to say I am, but my weekend festivities might say otherwise. So never mind.
Oh, snap. Well, help. Welcome to Monday Fights then.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that brings me into semi-related. We get into Nitro, and like the first thing Eric Bischoff says is we are loaded for bear. And my immediate thought is I'm worried about Arn Anderson's safety. I was like, oh no, the leather daddy, get him away. Like, but yeah, there we go. We're back into it. The large exhibition, Paul White trying so hard. Oh, like it's just everything. I was like, oh, bud.
Yeah, he's
figuring it
trying
out.
Trying to like play the part of Andre's son, which makes no sense.
That's the thing I wrote down too. Like they really fucking went there.
Yeah. Like he's literally saying my dad would be on my side fighting Hulkamania.
Yeah. And me and Gene like talking about your father and shit. And I'm like, are you?
Yeah.
Like, where's the accent, me and Gene? I mean, he's not even pretending to be French. This is bullshit. You can't just put the one strap on him and like ignore everything else. I want Paul White to ask me if I want a peanut to know if it's real. And it's just not going to happen. But no, they really fucking went there. Like, holy shit.
Yeah, they just went there.
And I guess I'm excited to see how long they stick it out before they go, you know what? Why is this big guy talks funny? Like, we'll drop the Andre thing, because what were we thinking? I guess we'll find out.
I think they drop it pretty quick, but I don't remember. That was the other thing that I really noticed while watching both episodes was, wait, I watched these live, and I still kind of remember it.
Right.
And I thought this was so much longer ago, and yet... I'm sitting there watching on Raw. I was watching Dean Douglas do his classroom thing, and I'm like, I remember this vividly.
That's wild. Yeah, Dean Douglas and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat is what I was wondering. Yeah, we'll get there. But yeah.
Yeah, we'll get there. Yeah.
In the meantime, though, yeah, you know, fuck Mongo, Sames, everything. Yeah. I refuse to hate Pepe. Pepe did nothing wrong, this Pepe.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you can't help having Mongo McMichael. The one thing is that I want to put down, though, is this is the first time we've gotten to actually hear the American Male song, I think.
Yeah.
And it's just, it made me think of, like, it's like a Matt Parker, Trey Stone, like, old, like, South Park basketball, like, kind of song. Like, now you're a man. And it's like they saw Orgasmo, like, yeah, we'll just do that.
Yeah. Which, now, timeline-wise, does not work, but somehow it does. Yeah.
No, it doesn't. I totally agree with you. All right. Well, okay. Well, maybe they ripped off WCW then, the Dirty Libertarians. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I was happy for that, and I got super excited because I was like, "Hell yeah, Steven Regal and beautiful Bobby the Earl of Eaton." Harlem Heat fucking does their thing, and I was like, "Okay."
That was such a weird thing because the tag team champions jumped just another team. With no storyline reason, just because, no, we're the champions and we want to defend the titles.
And then they dropped them.
Yeah, and then dropped them the night after they won them. It was one-night raid. That was like, so...
What the fuck? I was enjoying the match, too. Like, I was like, this is a sweet match. Like, Booker, like, caught Bagwell. And, like, basically, like, instead of, like, catching him into the power slam like he should have, he, like, dropped low. So, like, he almost dropped him, but, like, Booker just power lifts him through it anyways.
Yeah.
And, like, deadlift him, and I'm like, fuck yeah. Plus, you know, as we talked about on the Patreon, my sister Sherry addiction continues.
Absolutely. But she's rocking
the hair where she looked like Death from the Sandman. Like comments, I was like, oh my god, they
absolutely, yeah, I and definitely saw that, yeah.
And Scotty Riggs had the Ankh necklace, and I was like, you put them together, and Peachy,
yeah,
there we go.
Scott, I forgot how much I liked Scotty Riggs I first watched, because like I got really into Raven's Flock when that becomes a thing.
Oh yeah,
loved Raven's Flock, and yeah, Riggs was like such an underrated guy in that, like. Yeah, it's so good. And seeing him do this with Buff Bagwell is just
in the so fucking funny. American males. God damn. What were they thinking? Besides the point, I couldn't help but think of like Sherry Colonel Parker, because then he comes out and this becomes like more of a thing. And I just think,
yeah,
it's like e-girl goth girlfriend, oil billionaire podcasting boyfriend. Yeah, is that a thing? I guess it's a thing in 95.
I guess, yeah. I mean, the closest I can think of that was anything close to that would be Don Marie and Tori Wilson's dad.
Oh, God. I wasn't mentally prepared for that. There was a few things.
No one was.
There was a few things on that watch through that, like, oh, wow. I wasn't ready for that. I wasn't ready for the ladder match for parental rights of Dominic. That was not, which it turned in hindsight is one of my favorite things of
it's
that
so
whole
good.
Era. And I was like, no, in hindsight, that was amazing, but ridiculous. And like, holy shit. Just and the fact that now Dom's just like, nah, that was cool. I'm going to do that. Now it can work.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, I said something on the Patreon episode about how it really is, you just take a whole bunch of spaghetti and throw it against the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised what sticks sometimes.
That
stuck.
That stuck, yeah. No, I mean, he turned into, wow, like, I don't watch often anymore, but last I checked in, he still can't take the mic without getting booed out of the fucking stadium.
Yeah.
Like and that's awesome. Like, that's so cool. That's Don Callis heat when you're in your, like, early 20s. You know, like, that guy had to be a piece of shit for decades to get that kind of...
Well, yeah. Yeah. He's... People give him a lot of crap for not being that good, and it's like, but look at the reactions he's getting. How is this not good?
That's
this
what I'm
is
saying.
Great.
I don't see this not good you speak of. Like, every time they say, I was like, whoa, his matches. And then I watch his matches. I was like, I don't know. He's kind of killing it. I think his work's great. I think that you can see him. You can see the obvious influence of his dad and, like, the Lucha base. but he's also like picked up like the shit heel brawler shit too. And you can see the love for Eddie in everything. And it's like, no, he really like built himself a little character and everyone hates on it. And I'm just, I don't understand it. I don't get it. Other than the fact that he's a heel and you're supposed to hate him. I think Dominic Mysterio's the shit.
Yeah, he's definitely hit on something really good. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I will. I would have no room for that kind of slander. But anyways, back to our history.
Yeah, back to
A little known fact. A lot of people know this. Ric Flair never actually bleached his hair. It just did that one day from like how Spice turns Fremen's eyes blue, but it's the blow. It just, next thing you know, it's white. He did enough of it, and it just turned. And I'm like, oh, that's fine. I didn't catch any of what he really talked about in his promo. Like, I watched the whole thing, and the whole time I'm just like, you're saying words, but I'm just fascinated by your movements, basically.
WCW Flair promos are just complete. They make no sense, and people eat them up. Like, it's amazing.
And it was cool, and I felt the same way about the match that we watched for you. It's like, I feel like I should love this match, but it's just not drawing me in. It just and he ended up. I liked him and Pillman's match at the end of the night enough. I was surprised how much I was into Paul Orndorff.
Yeah, Orndorff and Johnny B. Badd. That was a weird one, but good.
It was a match. It was a match.
Yeah.
Mostly like just the whole Mr. Wonderful thing. He really, I don't know what I was expecting, but after what we saw in the Fall Brawl, I was like, where is going with this? And then like, no, he's pulling this off. I'm into this.
The thing I most disliked was that I wanted Dan Spivey to come out with Paul Orndorff.
Yeah,
I wanted to see the crowd's reaction to Dan Spivey with that hair.
But then, you know,
and doing the whole psychic friends thing.
But then they would have to pay Dan Spivey who knows how much. You got to save room for the Hogan money.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was all fun. And then, like, we got, Randy Savage doing his thing, which, like, Randy Savage is one of those. It's like the Flair promos, only I love them. And they make no sense, but I'm just like, all right, constructive criticism. You have terrible taste in people.
And the best part was before the actual promo, they do this taped vignette of him pumping iron at the beach.
Oh yeah,
with all those Baywatch.
With all the Baywatch folks are just there, and then fucking Taskmaster comes after him, and forced again to try to see Kevin Sullivan as a threat, and I can't.
And it just the combination of Baywatch and just random workout equipment on the beach, and then you think about it, and the pay per view was the night before. When did this happen?
Yeah.
When did they go to a beach to work out between the pay-per-view and the Nitro the next night?
And they tried to explain it. They tried to explain it away like this happened, blah 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 blah. And I'm like, well, why are we seeing how after the blow-off War Games?
Yeah.
That, you know, like the night. All right, y'all got it. Okay, it's early. It's early. I'll forget.
Yeah. Yeah.
They haven't quite worked out the kinks yet. But
yeah, it's episode 3. They'll figure it out.
It's getting there. It's getting there. I like the Lex.
They'll never figure it out.
They'll never figure it out. It'll get worse. They'll figure out something else.
Yeah.
And it's Vince Russo. Yeah. Yeah. No. All in all, it was a fun Nitro. I like the Lex Luger in the Paranoid. I just love Paranoid Macho Man, and he looked amazing. Yeah. I loved his outfit. I'm a sucker. I'm realizing how much his whole thing just like imprinted on what eventually would be some sort of sense of style that I have. And it's like none of this makes sense. It's all weird. Doesn't even necessarily like work together, but it kind of pulls off. I'm like, all right, yeah, apparently it's that. Any other thoughts on Nitro?
I mean, I was more impressed than I thought I'd like. Every time I see Brian Pillman wrestling in early WCW, I was like, I'm like, oh right, he was good. I remember when he was just too far gone to be good.
Yeah.
And but like he's really good in these early WCWs.
Yeah, and he keeps hitting his drop kick is just so fucking pretty. Him and Alex Wright so far in this rewatch, it's like I'm keeping a side note of favorite drop kick and fantastic stuff. But yeah, no, Brian Pillman is like the low key MVP of these early ones so far. Also Booker T is just every time I see him, I'm like, God, no wonder I love this guy later.
Yeah,
never saw his early stuff. Something. Yeah, I never got to see a lot of the super early stuff, so it was like, holy shit. But that's all I have on Nitro. It was kind of a short and sweet, and you know,
these are back when they were 1 hour episodes of each show, and it feels so weird watching that be all the wrestling you really get in a week. Is like, oh, they had 1 hour and that was all you got.
Four matches ish.
Yeah, like 3 on Nitro, 4 on Raw, like
something like that, and a lot.
That's all you get.
And Hulk Hogan on a motorcycle,
yeah,
with fake fans taking questions, and then fucking Paul White rocking his shit in a monster truck, and it's like, all right,
yeah,
okay, sure, why not? I guess there was a thing where like they were trying to maybe make that more of a thing, and I think it happens more later on with like the NWO and shit, where they do with monster trucks. I think there's a Halloween Havoc we have to look forward to that gets weird.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of history of monster trucks in wrestling. Yeah, they'll come back.
Awesome, but not with Paul White just being basically just doing Captain Insano, and I'm like, all right, there you go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, the large exhibition is just Captain Insano to me, the biggest of shows, and I love him forever, because you know he's just a teddy bear, you can see it. Yeah. He looks like he just needs a hug, buddy. But then that brings us to Thursday Night Raw. I have to say, I appreciated the previously on.
Yeah, I didn't remember that they used to do that.
And I feel like they we'll see, but I feel like it's something that was gone mostly by the Attitude Era, because it got like replaced with like the dramatic recap, where it's a previously on, but they don't just straight up say this is what happened last week. And I was like, this is kind of wholesome. I like it. And it'll be very nice for anyone who's jumping into the podcast a few episodes in. You're watching like, all right, cool. That's not going to last long. Also, these are going to get longer, folks. Strap in.
Yeah.
A few people I've talked to come on have been like, I set aside a whole night to watch this because I'm used to 3 hour Raws. And I was like, nope. Like even the pay-per-view was pretty, pretty quick. And I was like, okay, now it's like.
Yeah, it went along really quick. And like, I'm used to these AEW pay-per-views where it's like, pre-show starts at 5:30 and it goes till past 11, and like I felt like the last one, Revolution, it was a great show.
Oh yeah,
but there were numerous times I fell asleep. I just it's too much. It's like 20 pounds of wrestling in a 10-pound bag.
I was so close to falling asleep, but like I really, I don't know, like anyone who might be listening who also catches my occasional Blue Sky alongs. I don't get to watch it live often, but I was like, all right, we'll watch Revolution live at Sting's last match. I ended up winning a cross stitch of Sting and Darby from Wrestling with Stitches, who is awesome, and you should follow them on Blue Sky, everyone who's listening. They are fantastic.
Immediately after this, yeah.
Yeah, no, and I won a little Sting and Darby with the championship belts. And I was like, oh, I got it. My partner was like, oh, you got a souvenir from Sting's last match. And I was like, yeah, oh, I got that and sleep deprivation. Because it took so goddamn long. And by the end of it, I was just like, he's so old. How is he alive right now? And they're on the East Coast. I'm like in Minneapolis dying. And it's like 11 o'clock. And I'm like, old. And I'm like half his age. But I'm just, nope.
Yeah, I fell asleep during some of the earlier matches. I was awake for all of that match.
That shit but, was wild. But it's becoming too much. And, like, I get it, but it's... And here, the other problem I have with it, I would feel less bad about falling asleep or maybe having to not watch it live because it's just so fucking long and I'm old now. But AEW pay-per-views are, like, always bangers.
Every match on that show is a banger.
They very rarely suck. And it would be easier to skip it. Like, I'm fine watching replays on WWE pay-per-views. I can just catch them when I have a second to catch up. But, like, I want to watch them live, and then I want to watch the fucking media scrums because they are fucking awesome.
I can't stay up for the scrums. I'll catch the highlights the next day because I just can't.
And then I have to have the existential crisis to Topanga of, am I just old? Like, am I just too old for this shit, as they say? Yeah.
Oh, I know I'm too old for this shit. Like, they just announced this week, Rampage is airing right after Dynamite. It's going to be a 3-hour night on Wednesday.
Oh, God.
And my first reaction was, oh, no. I wanted to go to bed after Dynamite.
Oh, no, you're going to make me stay up a whole extra hour. Yeah,
I'm clearly 40. I get it. Okay.
God damn it. I need some of that stuff to turn Ric Flair's hair white. And hey, look at that transition back into 1995.
Yeah.
So skipping over how much I hate the Raw Nitro because I can't just talk about it every episode, but fuck that intro. Not Raw Nitro, Raw Intro. Oh my God. It's been a long one. Exactly.
Yeah, I've had such a long day.
So I'm gonna read intro and say Nitro. It's gonna happen, kids. But yeah, fuck all that. Eventually it'll be gone soon. What the hell? In the meantime, the opening match, it's like what right off the bat again with Razor Ramon and 1-2-3 Kid and Dean Douglas. Yeah. And it's almost like the exact same match but with Waltman. It, because, like, there's the ref bump again and everything.
Yeah, and Douglas did that splash, which is what Waltman did the week before.
Yeah.
But that's neither of their finishing moves. They just mirrored each other. Like, that's some good shit, though. Like,
it is that, some good
that
shit.
Kind of. I noticed this with this Raw that, like, wait, WWE used to care about story structure and symmetry and foreshadowing
a little bit like they really
actually did some of that. I forgot.
Yeah, and it wasn't bad. It was horny enough that it was still camp, you know what I mean? Yeah. And that's like, they still in, like, I'm saying this about 95, historically, like, the worst year, you know, supposedly ever, but, like, no, they still had that. The mirroring was awesome. And the fact that, like I said, Ralph Bass, like the same match. And, you know, it wasn't a bad match at all as far as, like, the little guy versus the big guy, or, you know, little man versus big man, in that sense. And they did it. And fucking, I get mad at so many ref bumps, but Earl Hebner took the shit out of that bump. Like, yeah, he went flying out of the ring. Like, holy hell. Oh, man. Like, he went so hard, his twin felt it. But, yeah, it was all right. I got spooked again by the goth Sith Lord ghost person from Dark City in the audience. I don't know if you caught that.
Yeah, no, that was it. That's, like, number one in my notes. It was the fourth row goth. Who I'm just like, you stand out like a sore thumb. You seem awesome. This was 28 years ago, but I want to hang out with you.
Well,
are you?
I got some answers. Last episode, our guest Erica brought up that Undertaker used to have, like, minions, the Children of Darkness or whatever, the Children of the Night or whatever, who would, like, hold up Undertaker stuff during his matches and who were, like, I guess, like, plants in the crowd and were just always there. And because I point out, I was like, what, who's that Dark City motherfucker? Like, what is this? And then they showed up again this week and I was like, okay, holy fuck, like, how am I going to put this in my notes again? Like, am I seeing shit? No, okay, this must be what Erica said. Okay. Thank you.
It's like, yeah, they stood out. And, like, if people who know me know I have this, I don't know how exactly to put it, a weird affinity for goth people. I just, because I'm this, like, bright, colorful hippie, but my favorite people to spend time with are goth people.
You're the rainbow. Like, you're the Topanga rainbow next to the Topanga darkness.
Yeah, my life is constantly that pink house next to the black house meme.
Yeah. So,
like, that's just, I'm always hanging out with goth people, and everyone's like, what the fuck is up with this? And I'm like, this is just who I like to hang out with. So I was just, like, the entire episode just staring at that person going, who are you?
Who are you? I want to be your friend. I want to be your friend. I want to go back in time and be your friend.
Yeah.
So apparently they're going to be here. I'll see how long that lasts, but I got to start, like, preparing myself for just, like, jumping every time I see this goth. Like, they're just spooky. I love the fact that, like, Dean Douglas was actually a teacher, and you can tell when he's doing the promo with the writing. Because, like, he's, like, really go for it. The way he's holding the chalk, I was like, okay, no, that's someone who's actually written on a chalkboard quite a lot.
Well, yeah, and we'll see. They did that a lot with taking people's real-life side jobs and turning it into a character, which we will see later on with a certain spark plug.
Yeah, I was going to say, Bob Holly, not actual stock car driver.
Yeah.
With maybe a panic? I don't know.
he did some stuff. Like, yeah, he was like a little Ricky Bobby who didn't actually make it as a race car driver.
No, he actually did. I didn't realize that.
He did some smaller races as a driver, but, like, never took off the big circuits. And yeah. he was like part of pit crews and stuff. Yeah.
There you go. So it's all right. We're going to make you go into that. The whole time, he's still got the hardcore Holly face, though. Like, I can't fucking believe I'm here.
Yeah.
God, just go and kick everyone's fucking ass. God, it just sucks. Yeah, and that was pretty solid. And I liked that. And then you have Savio Vega, who actually is a badass dude from Puerto Rico. I will not stand for any Savio slander. I've heard people, like, hate on Savio, and he was one of my favorites when I was a kid.
It was so good. Yeah, and I strongly agree.
Looking back on this stuff, it holds up, right? It's not just me.
Yeah, and just, like, and I love Tatanka. I love everyone in this match. Sparkplug, not so much. Yeah. But when you see young Kama Mustafa and Savio Vega in the ring together, holy, they had something really good between the two of them.
They really had some real
chemistry.
No, they worked really well. And, like, Kama, the ultimate fighting machine, when they're trying to, like, early in on, like, UFC shit, when it's, like, barely even a thing, and they're like, you could do, like, bare knuckle shit. But I always know, I knew both of those guys from The Nation. Like, when I started watching The Nation, was already a thing. But I loved Savio, and I was like, this is fantastic. And, like you said, everyone in this match was great, except for Sparkplug. But, you know, the thing I noticed, too, is, like, in mirroring between this and the Nitro we just watched, though, I got to give the upper hand to Booker T in this instance, because they did the same spot where Bob Holly jumped and he caught him in the power slam, and he like slipped, but Kama didn't get the deadlift and just straight up dropped Bob Holly on his fucking dome.
Just turned it into an Emerald Fusion just right on his head.
God, I screamed so hard, and I was just like, right after watching Booker T pull it off, I was just like, oh, jeez.
Yeah, and it's like, I really liked when he was, like, during the match, the kicks that Kama did were so cool, but then that last move happens, and you're like, this is why the Godfather didn't do moves, right?
That's why they didn't let him do big shit, because it's like, you almost killed Bob, man. You can't just...
Yeah.
You can't just almost kill Bob. It's not allowed. But yeah, all in all, I really love that. That was a fantastic thing. And then what was next here?
I know they did the Razor promo.
Yeah.
God, I miss Razor Ramon. Oh, It's, he was so good.
It's one of those things where I can't believe they didn't get sued because he really is just doing Scarface.
But he's got, when I was a kid, I never understood the phrase. Now I get the phrase and I see him going and I'm like, no, he is oozing machismo.
Yeah.
He is like, you are fascinated. He's got that machismo. He's got the charisma. You're just like, damn, I just want to listen to him talk and go, hey, yo, and all of that. It's so good.
Honestly, when I was a kid, every time he'd say he was oozing machismo, I was just like, is that why your hair looks like that? it's your sweat. And now I know it's like everyone's just dumping water on their heads to look like super sweaty. I'm like, all right, the 90s were wild. But yeah, they carve you up and shit. It's like, that's straight up a line from Scarface. Like, what the fuck? For a green card, I'll carve them up real nice. And it's like, that's literally from Scarface.
Yeah.
Oh, and they just never got sued. And it makes me think the 90s, like, it's just so fun to watch this shit because, like, I feel like you could not do that now without it being, like people getting, like, big mad or, like, having to be so blatant. Because they didn't go, like, well, it's satire. They just straight up did it.
I mean, and there's times that it works with the character. Like, I'm thinking, Tony Storm has directly quoted old-timey movies, like,
yes,
word for word, but you don't care because she's doing it so well and the character is so well-formed.
And it fits so much fun. It fits with the character, but when she does it, it doesn't feel like a crutch. Like, what it feels to me like Scott Hall's doing Scarface because he doesn't know what the fuck else to do. And Toni Storm is quoting all these movies because she loves old movies. It's a way for her to express her special interest through a character.
Yeah, I'm not even sure it is her special interest. I think she's gotten into it. I think this whole thing started as RJ City's idea.
Really?
Because
that's fantastic.
Well, I mean, this seems way more like his type of thing.
It does
like,
seem
I don't,
down
I don't know
his
Toni
alley
Storm.
More.
She's not online anywhere, so who knows what she's into. At first I was just like, I'm not so sure she's so into it. And then I think she did the research and is like, no, I'm going to nail this.
Oh my God. She's so fucking nailing it. Oh my God. That's another goddamn press scrum though. When she called out Wendy Richter, I fucking died. Oh my God. I died. I was trying to stay awake and she, holy shit. I love her so much.
My favorite thing about AEW right now is, so I watch the international feed through what's now Triller. I hate calling it that. It's Fight. but when you watch the international feed, when they go to commercials, you just get the show, the picture in picture.
Yeah.
She gets so unhinged when she knows she's in commercial break. Some of the shit she says, oh my, like, I have died laughing
at the stuff
she says during commercials.
It is so good. Because you just get the visual. And that was the one thing I love is that, like, commercial, like, the picture-in-picture commercial breaks became, like, a way to do Toni Storm shorts because it's silent. And, like, that show, I was like, oh my God, do that forever. Holy shit, that was amazing.
There was one picture-in-picture where she was watching an Outcast match with, you know, Saraya and Ruby, and she just starts talking about how when they were together, their menstrual cycles synced up. And I was just like, what the fuck are you talking about? Holy, what the fuck? Because she can just say anything during the commercial, and she is so clearly perfectly matched for Juice Robinson. They are
the perfect
couple. I seriously, they are both like crazy in the exact same way. It's so good. I'm so happy that they found each other.
Fucking A. I want nothing but good things for both of them because like Juice,
absolutely.
And the one time I like look back at NXT shit and saw that what they did to him where they tried to make him a heel for wanting to, checks notes, save the environment.
Yeah, the bad guy hippie character.
And then, like, when they're going to boo the guy who wants to do something about climate change, fuck this whole company.
Well, get ready with your WCW rewatch, because eventually Brad Armstrong is Buzzkill.
Oh,
and is the same character.
Time is a flat fucking circle.
Yep.
Well, speaking of time and flat circles, we go back to the history part of this history podcast. Pirate versus Jobber to set up In Your House 3, which will be fun. Yeah. Jean-Pierre Lafitte stealing Bret's shit. I gotta say, I liked him, Bret Hart calling in over the match from Lonesome Dove. Yeah. Was an interesting little thing to do. Like that, that was cool.
They do that occasionally. I think the only time recently I've heard, like, Eddie Kingston called in once during a Jericho thing.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That was so good when he's like, it was like after the fireball thing, and he's like, my wife of 20 years had to see me with this bird face, and everyone at home's going, Eddie's not married. What the fuck is he talking about? It's just like perfect old school. He called in on a telephone. He's talking about a wife that doesn't exist. It felt so old. It was so good. You know, I really like that. And seeing PCO as a pirate.
That shit is amazing.
It was so good.
No, that, and I like him. I was like not terribly familiar with him. And I was like, no, this guy's cool. And like, I feel so bad. I didn't even catch the dude's name that he squashed. But he was like going
Ryan Walsh.
Ryan Walsh. I was like, I just put pirate versus jobber and I felt terrible. And I was like, I know that last time we had a jobber, it was Scotty Tuhati, and I was able to at least call him out by name. This guy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and that was an episode. I think Razor beat the shit out of Scotty Tuhati before he lost his name. He's still Scott Taylor. But yeah, then we got on to like what I might be my match of the week. I love everyone involved in this except for, like, I could give two shits about what's his face, Mo. Yeah. I was unfamiliar with Men on a Mission. I knew Mabel as Viscera, so like I was just like, holy shit, this is different and it's purple and I like it. Let's go. Okay. And I remember watching his King of the Ring on tapes back in the day. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, King Mabel. Okay, I remember this now.
Yeah, Sir Mo, I think the end of this match, they started the split of Men on a Mission.
So we're coming in at the end of it.
You saw Mabel, like, walking off and just going, fuck this, I'm done, fuck this.
Yeah.
And the moment that Men on a Mission broke up, Mo disappeared.
Yeah, so
and
like
was never to be seen again.
Just no more Mo. But then we get Viscera eventually, and yeah,
Viscera and Big Daddy.
Big Daddy V. God, oh God, love him. No, he managed to stick around. I also noticed that like every time he comes in getting carried, I check. Because I forget what time it was, but I managed to catch it. Might have been a pay-per-view. He was getting carried in on the thing, and it was the Hardy Brothers, where, like, super young Hardy boys were fucking carrying King Mabel in on his chariot or whatever. That was fucking awesome. But, yeah, apparently no more King Mabel. I put down a few things from this match, though, because, like, Owen Hart's neckbreaker is fucking beautiful and foreshadowing.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Owen was something special in so many ways, yeah.
Yeah, but he shouldn't pile drive people.
No, I mean, probably not.
I think the one time I was playing, someone did a create a wrestler character for Owen Hart in whatever 2K I have. I don't even know.
Yeah.
And I was playing with him. I was like, wow, this is really great. And then I was like, okay, well, what's his finisher? Like, sharpshooter? And they made his finisher a sit-out tombstone pile driver.
That was his finisher for a while, yeah.
And I was just like, That's dark, man. I was just like playing it like, Jesus Christ, that's dark.
No, that was his finisher, like, up until
he broke Stone these... Cold incident. No shit. Yeah, I thought it was a fuck up. I didn't realize he actually was doing that.
Yeah, that was like that and the sharpshooter were his finishers, and there was numerous times where he was like not doing the sharpshooter because he was trying to get away from his brother's shadow. And that sit out tombstone was his finish.
I just don't understand how you could do a sit out tombstone without it ending the way it did for Stone Cold. Like,
there's people gotta be Bam Bam did it really well. Rikishi did it well.
Yeah, well, he does. Yeah, but when he, I feel like when he does it, he does like who nowadays is it Penta, like, or it might be Ray Phoenix who does it now, where you're carrying him kind of on the shoulder.
Yeah, more. Phoenix.
Yeah,
with where the Fire Thunder Driver. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, where they're a little bit higher up, where he was straight up holding him like. Like for a kneel down tombstone, I feel like if you're holding him in front of you, like you're gonna crush the guy's head. Like,
oh yeah, they definitely learned from Owen Hart to like make it closer to the big ending than an actual pile driver.
Yeah, especially, or Rikishi stood out like, where you do like the arms out. I love that shit.
Yeah, and Bam Bam did that too. The greetings from Ashbury Park.
Yep. And so I guess there is a way to do it, just not the way you're doing it, Owen, buddy. I don't know, but as far as finishers go, I did love the drop toe hold into the big leg drop.
Leg drop, yeah.
That was an awesome tag team finisher. Hell yeah. And it looked brutal. And man, I forgot about Owen and Yoko in general as a tag team, and I really like it.
Really so much. I think I realized during this match, I was watching it and just like, kept finding my eyes drifting back to Yoko and realizing, oh, I think I had a huge crush on him as a kid and didn't know the words
for that.
But, like, especially this time when he's like, he's got the stubble.
He's starting to do the stubble.
And it just like, I'm just like.
He was starting to get like the meaner.
Really good. I just want to keep.
More mean face and less stoic. And I was like, all right, give me a growl, Yoko. And the Usos would say, Uncle Rodney, all right, yeah.
It's like, oh, I see what everyone sees in Roman in Yokozuna.
Right now. There you go. And
I will admit
to having those feelings for Rikishi. So like every time it's like, oh my God, the Usos are so hot. I'm like, well, yeah, have you seen their dad? Like, God damn.
Yeah. Absolutely. There's a good genes in that family in a lot of ways.
I was going to say, that's why they're the bloodline. You know, see that?
Yeah.
The other thing I loved about this was when Viscera picked Owen up and tossed him. And I just wrote, like, big guy throw little guy. This to me is cinema. This is art.
Yeah.
Fucking yeah. And then, you know, Jim Cornette did his thing, and I got to give him love for at least the color scheme really pleased me. Matching with the racket case, because wrestling is better when it's just a little gay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And yeah, you know, he pulled it off, and I'm going to say that super hard because I know it'll piss him off. But yeah, Owen and Yoko as a tag team, I really liked. I guess it was just because Yoko was getting so big he couldn't work full matches by himself without getting blown up, so. And that's why they gave him Owen, and it's like, you could play the big dude, and, you know, it worked.
Yeah, they were like a perfect tag team. They really did.
And they
really loved the two of them together.
It's one of those ones where you wouldn't think of it, but when you see it in action, it's like, no, that really works. And plus, I love the idea that now we know about Mr. Fuji and Owen basically being the two hardest rivers in the history of the business. So to imagine those two, like, working out a tag team and a promo together, it must have been scary shit backstage.
Yeah, well, from what I've heard, some of Mr. Fuji's ribs weren't so much ribs as they were serious crimes.
Yeah, but fraud and shit.
Yeah, like, oh, I just made you eat your own dog.
Oh, God, that was one of them, apparently. Oh, God, we're going to have to watch that. Oh, no, that happened during...
Oh, yeah, when the Al Snow big boss man.
No, oh, no, Pepper.
Yeah. Oh, Pepper.
Sigh. I love Blue Sky, though, because I think, was it... I can't remember if it was someone I talked to who said they met a trans woman who named herself Pepper after Al Snow's dog.
Oh my God.
I can't remember who it was. And I was just like, God, I love this place. Yeah.
Oh my God, that is the best thing.
And I was like, I love my community. I love my social media. I love professional wrestling. This is fantastic. Fuck yeah, we got through both of them. What was your match of the week, Topanga?
Match of the week? I mean, oh gosh. I think I'm gonna go Yoko Owen Men on a Mission. It just edges out like Pillman Flair.
Yeah, I gotta give it to like, too, because you pick big guy, pick up little guy.
Throw
little guy.
Yeah. I you know, the big thing nowadays is people chanting meat during a match. Do you imagine a current day crowd seeing Yokozuna and Mabel in the ring together?
Fat,
just like, holy
fat,
shit.
Fat. And I was just like, yes, no, let's go. Like, this is the 90s version of big meaty men slapping meat. It was just two big fat
Absolutely.
Dudes.
Absolutely.
And I was like, yeah, bring it back. I want it. Fuck yeah. So, no, we absolutely matched up on Match of the Week. Sign of the Week, there was definitely more options. I don't know about you, but I ended up just going with the one that I'm assuming was planted by the crowd. This says we want it raw. That was like probably planted in Nitro, or maybe that was or it was people who were really dedicated to like supporting Raw at Nitro. But like they had to print out a long like 4-person sign.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, A for effort.
There was one on Raw I really wanted to pick, but I couldn't quite make it up. Like, it was front row, but like there was so many words, it was just too blurry. And it was something about Razor, something about your mullet. And I was just like, I want to know what it says, but I can't read it all, and that's not fair. But on Nitro, the one that I picked out, there was someone who had a JC Hearts. Eric Jerkoff.
There you go.
And I just love the juxtaposition of I heart you and also I am calling you a jerkoff.
That
combination. It just like I cracked up seeing that sign.
That's like the early, you have found the earliest example to me at least of like what I think of as sign culture in the future.
Yeah.
It's like the early form of shitposting over national broadcast airwaves.
Absolutely, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
That tickled me.
Awesome. That brings us, who do you think won this week? And I gotta give it to the Fed this week, actually.
It's really close for me, because like then when I think about the matches, like Raw had the tag team match that really didn't mean much with Kama, Tatanka, Savio, and Sparkplug, and then just a squash match with Pirate versus Jobber.
Yeah.
And like all three of the Nitro matches were actually pretty solid, but like that tag team match had like no story and was solid. Raw, the things that really jumped out at me about Raw, the first match was face versus face.
Yeah.
And the main event was heel tag team versus heel tag team.
Yeah.
And, like, they didn't shy away from it. It's not like, well, these are all bad guys, so for this match, Men on a Mission are the good guys, and they're not going to cheat. No, they were all the heels.
They just let them go in and throw down.
Just let them go, and that was so refreshing. Yeah, you got to give it to Raw.
Because it brought an energy, didn't it? And that opening match, same with the face versus face. What we talked about where they obviously mirrored the previous week. And it's like there was just, it seemed like there was more effort in the Raw this week than there was, where Nitro is just sort of, hey, remember last night?
Yeah, they're still finding their footing.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, in Raw, like they weren't afraid to put on matches where the crowd just doesn't know how to react.
Yeah.
Because now it's all about like getting the crowd to cheer one person or boo another person. And like, no, they just put on matches.
And
they
it
were
worked.
Good.
They were very
good. Yeah, and it all worked.
It all worked pretty goddamn well. Like, I was very into it. No, that. I gotta give it to Ra. I absolutely agree. Holy shit, we did it again, Topanga. And we did it again in like less than an hour, which We are efficient at this. I appreciate this. Do you have any plugging things that you would like to plug for people to go check you out being awesome outside of this podcast?
Well, luckily, a few hours before this podcast, my Twitter account got suspended, but it came back just before this recording started. So you can follow me at Topanga Rainbows on all social media.
Still for now.
Yeah, still for now. I unfortunately, there's this trend where people are, sex bots are like responding with these emojis saying pussy in bio.
Oh, God.
And I've decided I'm going to steal that and just start using it against like any tweet I don't like.
There you go.
And I did it once and immediately got suspended.
Oh, no.
Apparently they're on the lookout for that because they're trying to get the bots. So I was suspended for a few hours.
You flew too close to the sun. There.
You can also on Twitter, hopefully coming very, very soon. I'm hoping in the next week or two, I'll be releasing the first episode of Being Topanga. That's my new podcast. It's not about wrestling. We discuss a little wrestling, but it's really just me and some friends shooting the shit. And if you're in the Minneapolis area, June 30th, you can come to First Wrestling in my backyard. This has been something I've been working on for 2 years. While we're recording this, it's not official. We have the contract. We're going to send it back, I think, this week. And then it will be official. But June 30th, you can come to, forget WWE in your house. You can come to my house.
In or around Topanga's house. Yeah, there you go. Yes.
And watch some goddamn wrestling. Yeah. So in Topanga's house. I think that's all I've got going on right now. I don't know what to plug. My life, that's my life right there, all of it.
There you go. Well, thanks for hanging out again, and we will obviously have you back. Oh, thank y'all for listening. The folks who are still listening, yes, you are welcome. You can find us on Blue Sky at mnffpod.bsky.social. We have an Instagram at MNFFpod, and if you want to, you can join the Patreon at patreon.com/MNFFpod. We're going to be running into more pay-per-views. This episode clearly gave us a lot of lead up to In Your House 3, and that we will be recording tomorrow night. Thanks again.
I'm really glad I've joined the Patreon so I can listen to that because I'm really excited for that.
You see, you get to be on one and then you get to catch the next one.
Yeah.
And otherwise, we will see you folks next week for more Raw versus Nitro on Monday Night Fake Fights. Toodle.
Bye.